On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Let's do this!
1, 2, 3, 4.
A swing and a belt. Well, field way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God! Down the sideline! Wow! Touchdown!
Unbelievable!
Trying to finish it.
Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score!
Oh, welcome back to the Tall Can Sports Podcast.
Do it.
Okay.
Do your thing.
Follow us.
Dance, monkey.
On Twitter at Tall Can Audio. Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. The archives are at TallCanAudio.com. And there's new shit for our patrons. You should become one at Patreon.com/TallCanAudio.
Oh, it's new.
What's up, man?
You know, I'm just loving life.
Yeah.
Drunk with gravy and all that good shit. I love me some gravy and stuffing. Where do you stand on the stuffing? Because I know it can be very polarizing.
No, no good. It's no not good. My deal.
Why, man?
You know what I want on my plate on Thanksgiving dinner? I want a big... Okay, go ahead. Take a shot at it.
Yeah,
what's Matt's plate look like at Thanksgiving dinner?
It's got turkey.
Oh, yeah.
It's got mashed...
It's dark. It's the dark meat.
Of course it is.
It's that greasy, greasy meat, as we've covered before.
Yeah, the greasy meat. So it's got turkey.
Yeah.
It has potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
It has, contrary to popular belief, it probably has squash or turnip on it.
It's got a buttload of turnip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's likely a buttload later, because honestly, that...
I love
I'm going to say that you are not a cranberry guy.
No, you should stop. That's my plate.
With gravy.
No gravy.
No gravy. That is a complete shock.
No, I'm all about the... I'm surprised you're shocked by that, to be honest with you. I like everything plain. Right?
This is true. Yeah, that's true. But yep. Gravy's not like any other sauce.
No, you're right. And it's not that I don't like gravy. I do have it at times or whatever, but there's just something about that first blush of Thanksgiving dinner. I don't need it covered in other shit, right? Maybe one of the third time you've warmed it up or something like that. But it's...
See, stuffing, just seasoned bread with garlic and onions, maybe a walnut in there. Delish.
I'm told at ours that... do a delightful sausage stuffing or sauce.
No,
it's not stuff. Well, yep. What's the other term for stuffing?
Yeah. No.
But what is it? You know what I'm talking about, though. Some people call stuffing something else.
Yeah, some people are stupid.
Okay, moving on.
Is it come out of a bird? Have you pushed it in?
It's still stuffing. It's just a dressing. Right. Dressing is what.
Yeah, see, and I don't want raisins or cranberries in my stuffing either. No apples.
No apples. What is this?
Okay, well, what's happening? Honestly, man, people love their cranberries and apples in their stuffing or dressing.
Yeah, well,
whatever you choose to go with.
Yep, it's true, man.
It's stupid. Don't do it.
Okay.
No, and no sausage. And I love a good crumbled sausage. I had to throw. I had
one around for 40 yards.
Yeah, exactly. I'm totally crumbled. What's happened with that? Yes, I had to throw the crumbled portion in because I didn't want anything
sure
getting clipped edited up. And yes,
don't worry, I can cut that out.
I love sausage.
I got way more damning things than that saved in the bank. So
yeah, right. Well, you know what? If I gave a damn,
right,
we'd really be in trouble.
I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because it's almost a week ago now. But your impressions coming out of Khabib versus Conor at UFC 229 last Saturday night? For those who didn't see it, I guess I should set the table. Sorry.
Yeah,
I gave the table, Matt.
You do it so nicely.
Conor taps out in the fourth round.
Like a bitch.
And Khabib, I choose to believe, in celebration, jumps out of the cage and starts beating people's ass. While members of his team come into the octagon and one of them
sucker punches
a guy who's just been tapped out, like, way to go, buddy.
In your jeans and in your t-shirt.
Right.
Crack hanging out as you jump over the fence.
A fresh Connor is fucking you up, but whatever. To me, it looked very, I gotta be honest, man, it looked very, is Vince McMahon back there pulling the strings? The only thing we're missing here is Stone Cold pounding a beer at the end and delivering the double birds.
Yeah.
I
read that somewhere and somebody said, yeah, the only thing missing here was Stone Cold in the middle cracking beers.
Right. I think that was my response to your email last weekend. Yeah.
Maybe it was you I heard it from.
Probably.
Okay, there you go.
Because it was.
Look at that. You just got cited like I read that somewhere.
Right. You probably did.
No.
Exactly. In an email. Yeah, you know what? To me, I didn't get to see the fight. I was interested in ordering it, but, you know, we had the big family deal on Saturday night. I knew no one else was going to be interested in it, and we only had one TV in the middle of the fucking place we were eating. So that wasn't going to happen. Saw all the highlights, saw what went down at the end. Looked a little like UFC kind of jumped the shark, man.
Well, and you see Dana up there looking like the sad father. Oh, I can't believe
it. Disappointed.
So disappointed. Now I'm just going to leave Nevada. And in behind, he's like, oh, my fucking God. This is the best thing ever.
Yep.
Yet I think it dragged the sport back 15 years, right?
Yeah.
I think for anybody who was looking to, and it's come a long way, right?
In terms of
its days being on, you know, reserves under tents,
right?
You know, that these sorts of things, it's legit. And for anybody who doesn't see it as that and they still see it as human cockfighting, you need to take another look.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And this is what I'm saying is this kind of shit, you know,
you can't jump out of the cage and start beating up people at cage side, right?
Yeah. Is a total stain on it. And that's what I'm saying is, It's disgraceful, really. Now Dana loves it. Now, my issue is with people who are outraged with this when the reality is other sports have this happen all the time. Right?
What sports have other people leave the field of play and beat up fans?
Terry O'Reilly, you have Mike Milbury.
In the 70s, beating up people.
It doesn't matter.
Of course you are, it does.
No, okay. All right, how about the...
The Malice at the Palace.
Pistons and the Pacers is where I was going with that.
05,
something
like
that. Yeah, Ron Artest, I think.
Yeah.
You know, crawling in and fighting. And Christ, boxing, which people look at and go, well, boxing is so legit and so, you know, it's the sweet sport.
Right.
The sweet science. Yet those fuckers at press conferences and fighting in the streets, there's all kinds of – how many times have you seen that clip of Larry Holmes jumping over off the hood of a car trying to get at somebody in the street? Like, yet people look at it because they have a distaste for MMA that they look and go, oh, my God, this is crazy. People fighting outside the actual
– I have – a distaste for what we saw on Saturday night.
Well, okay, so do I.
Yeah.
For sure.
And this is, you know, to me what we saw was Dana being totally willing, Dana and the UFC marketing machine, to play up every crazy piece of business we saw in March or April when Connor's throwing shit at a bus full of fighters.
Yeah, a hand dolly.
And when you're going to use crazy bullshit to promote a fight, you better be prepared for crazy bullshit to happen.
Crazy bullshit beget crazy bullshit.
Right. You endorsed this.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Totally. And so right now we're seeing Khabib threaten to walk away. Like Dana's pulled one of – are we going with Khabib or are we going with Habib? It's a KH start. I keep hearing both, man.
I'm going with Habib.
Okay. We'll go with Habib. Habib's guy at a card in Moncton, if you can believe it. One of his team members is scheduled to fight one of Connor's guys.
The guy who actually was getting punched out.
Right.
Outside the ring.
They've pulled that fight.
And the guy who was getting pulled was the guy who jumped over and sucker punched Connor.
Right. So they've said that guy's not fighting, right? Habib's guy is not going to fight on that card. We'll redo it. We'll find somebody else. And Habib says, if you're firing my guy, you're firing me. I will leave, is what he's threatening to do now. And to me, there couldn't be any better piece of business for the UFC. Let him leave. Let him go win a Bellator fight or two. Yep. And in a year, when he phones Dana back, which he will, and says, I'm ready to come back, Dana gets to book the biggest rematch in UFC history.
Yeah.
And make all kinds of fucking money on that after being able to say you took a stand.
See, but he is the one saying, yeah, you know what? Take my money. Take the whole thing then. Take the $2 million, whatever it is.
Because that comes from the Nevada State
Athletic Commission.
Athletic Commission. And he's saying, yeah, then shove it up your ass. I don't need it. And
Putin
he'll
take
come
care
back
of him.
To something. Putin called him, night. And
Well, then they had a meeting. He's had a sit down with Putin.
Didn't know that.
With his dad, the three of them.
We will. And I guess to me, the only thing controversial about this will be the timeline that I lay down. Within 15 months, we'll see a rematch. Yes.
Well,
or
see,
no?
See, the suspension came down yesterday, and I didn't hear what the suspension was for.
10 days.
A 10-day suspension?
Yeah.
Well, he's already been suspended a month or put on hold. Yeah, okay,
it's like when MLB gives a pitcher a 4-day suspension so he can still make his next start.
Yeah,
right?
Get ridiculous.
Yeah.
To me, I think, you know, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And it's nice that you've given yourself that 3-month window.
Wow.
Yeah, I get it. To me, the UFC has a problem, right? Habib Nurmagomedov or whatever his...
That's a hell of a name, man.
Whatever the last handle is.
Sure.
I get his point, right? He is the guy, and Dana has put all his eggs in the McGregor basket.
Yep.
Right? Like, word on the street is McGregor's getting up to $50 million, a slice of the pay-per-view. He's got his whiskey on the...
His whiskey was one of the sponsors on the apron, I believe, or on the mat.
Yeah, and I think Dana has totally sold out, because that's obviously what Connor said, right? I'm coming back, but...
Right.
I want to own part of this bitch.
And they weren't able to give him that, so they gave him enough of the other. Like, his deal was, before the Mayweather fight, I want to own part of UFC so I have a stake in what's happening here. And the UFC wasn't prepared to go there.
Yeah.
My understanding, this card that happened last Saturday, Habib's cut was $2 million, and Connor was getting $3 million, and then they would each get a cut of the pay-per-view. So... In terms of $50 million, I think that's the over 5-year contract that they signed, right? I'm not exactly sure how that's all going to work out.
Okay. Well.
But, man, no, there's no chance he made $50 million fighting Habib for the one night. It's got to be the length of the contract, right? Like,
okay. I don't know, but to me, it's really...
UFC can't pay that out like this.
Well,
that's more than what he made to fight Mayweather.
I was going
to
say, they can...
Not good business.
Yeah. Okay. This is what. Okay,
neither is fighting in the front row. So,
well, yeah. and really, when it's my understanding that the governor was there that night.
Yep, and stormed out of the building.
Well, and was taken out once shit went out, got outside of the octagon.
Yeah.
Right. When you have to have the governor removed from the premises.
Not a good look for your business.
Not a good look. So.
We are about a week into, a little more than that. We're sitting here on a Friday night recording. There are zero NHL games being played tonight, which is really why you're getting a show tonight, people.
Otherwise, we'd be watching that.
Yeah. Nice Columbus, Florida game or something.
Love that.
It's a little weird, man. We're like 10 days in. Tampa.
12 games last night.
Tampa has played, like, I got a bunch of lightning in my pool and I'm getting killed because they've played two games this week.
Florida's played two.
Oilers
have played two.
Yeah. Like, the Oilers, the face of your game, Connor McDavid, you sent him to Europe. He plays on a Saturday afternoon.
Not according to Bruce Arthur.
Yeah. Well, interesting. We can get to that. But he plays on Saturday afternoon where no one's really watching. He's playing the Devils in whatever. And doesn't play again until Thursday. That's not great in terms of trying to fire up your season. You'd rather, you know, wherever it might be, you want Connor in North America, maybe even in prime time somewhere would be nice.
Selling the game globally, baby, right there.
That'd be all right. What has stood out to you thus far in the first week or so of the NHL season?
The Leafs scoring a gajillion goals is what has stood out to me, right? And really, just how what the scoring rate across the league, to be honest with you, there's a pile of goals. Carolina beat the Rangers the other night 8-5.
Yep.
Philly beat Ottawa 7-4. It's like the 80s have come back in 2018.
So I initially thought the same thing, did a little research and found that through Holiday Monday, and I haven't looked since, so we're 3 days out from that now, 4 days out from now, there had been one more goal scored than there was at this time a year ago.
One more in total or one more per game?
No, total.
Really?
So if you recall, and you brought up the Leafs, but if you recall last...
Same number of games played? Are you just talking about week?
It was pretty close. It was pretty close to the same number of games played, but they're just talking day to day, right? So... But the Leafs last year scored, if you recall, they opened the season in Winnipeg, put up a 7 spot, came home and
beat... 7 or was it 10? I seem to recall it being this huge beatdown.
Put up 8 on the Rangers on the Saturday or whatever. Like, it seems to me that all the top guys across the league come in ready to fucking rock and no one is ready defensively.
Yeah.
And well, we're seeing that league-wide. Not like Toronto's putting up a buttload, but... Part of that is they've played more games than anybody else, too, right? So it's standing out more and more.
Well, see, and they only allowed 3 last night, which is...
It's
like turning the tap off, man.
Because Toronto has also allowed the most in the league.
No, they have not.
Are you sure?
I am positive.
Okay, because they have played more games than...
into tonight, Ottawa has allowed 20.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Ottawa's the only team that holds a win over those Leafs at this point.
And put another 5 spot on, too. Look at those guys.
Yeah. You know what? It's been really interesting to see the offense fly, and I was intrigued by it, too. But apparently, it's not that different than last year.
I'm hearing that, but does it pass the eyeball test to you?
No, shit's crazy.
Yeah.
And we're seeing, like, I didn't even know coming in that they had passed this rule that the goalie's upper chest protectors and shit, had been trimmed back a bit.
You know what?
And you've seen some spots, right? Goalie's trying to squeeze it against the body and it not being there, right? It gets through.
No, it's funny because I didn't know when the season broke, right, that they had gone through with this.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at that season opener, Chicago, Ottawa for us.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it going, fuck, man, the short side looks really really open. You're like, why couldn't you close that down? You got the AHL side just flapping wide open.
Thank you, Cam Ward.
And then you hear that, right? You hear that that they have gone with the more streamlined
upper body
padding. And then now you start to look at it. And it's very noticeable. It seems like there's more net to look at.
Yep.
Now, Brian Elliott, not happy. He's like, and there's no cushion. He's like, it's hitting muscle
and bone.
How
would Brian Elliott even know? They were whizzing past him, not hitting
him. That's what somebody said. Well, his solution to that is to not get hit by him.
So Brian Elliott gives up an 8 spot, I believe, in his only start of the year thus far. Was that not against Ottawa?
No. No, it was the night before against San Jose.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Because Calvin Pickard played the next night. At this point now, he's decided to go with Cal. He says, I hate Calvin. Don't call me that.
Don't you feel like Cal Pickard is someone you could see at the Grand Ole Opry?
But Calvin Pickard is not racing in NASCAR. Like, honestly, that to me is a name where you go, what?
What's happening? Yeah. In the DeWalt car or something.
Slim Pickens. Yeah. All those things.
Sure. Yeah, you know what? It's offense appears to be up, and maybe it'll stay up a bit. But in terms of what stood out to me, Carolina's gotten off to a hell of a start. They're, at time of recording, I believe 3-0-1. I think you and I both picked them to miss the playoffs. And
for sure.
And we do this whole thing every year. It's early, it's early, it's early. And so we'll see.
Yeah, 4 or 5 games in, I'm not even.
Right. Because if you want to go by 5-game segments, apparently Morgan Riley is now better than
everybody.
Bobby Orr.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay, but those guys are clipping along. Is Joe Bowen going to make it to the to the end of the season? That's my question, right? I listen
to a lot of goal calls, man.
Like last night, he's like, winning and simply, I can't even get it out. Like, well, if you didn't have fucking 2 hot dogs in your mouth at the same time, Joe, you'd be all right. Holy Mackinac!
You have, like, no regard at all for the fact that I'd love to have him on the show someday.
Like, I have no regard for it whatsoever. The guy, honestly, it makes my dinky do crawl inside when I hear him.
It's a dinky don't.
Call goals, honestly, like, listen, you.
So the big debate, we might as well crack into it at this point, is has Austin Matthews caught up to Connor McDavid for best player in the world?
Recency bias.
You think? We're like a week and a half into the season. McDavid's bias. Got to play 2 games.
Christ, last year Ovi had 7 goals in 2 games.
In 2 games.
Let's just simmer down. Now, you and I have both said, you know, I can only remember what I said. I'm sure you agreed.
Sure.
That Austin Matthews was almost a lock to get 50 goals this year. That was preseason.
Yep.
And so Tavares 100 points, Mitch Marner 1 point a game.
Yeah.
To me, I've seen nothing that doesn't say that all 3 of those aren't going to happen.
And the Leafs' goal differential will still be like +3 at the end of the season after all that.
Yeah. Well,
like, honestly, man.
Although Curtis McElhaney looking good in Carolina.
Apparently Cal Pickard doing all right in Philly.
Garrett Sparks not so much.
Well, yeah, gives up 6, gets a win.
Yeah, in his first. Honestly, in you hear it all the time. Last shot wins.
Yeah,
that fucking game was last shot wins. You're like, are you kidding? This no, yeah.
Well, why don't we transition into that a little bit, because I wanted to talk to you about some of the celebrations we've seen thus far and.
Celebrate good times. Come on. No.
Sure.
Cool in the gang. Yeah. Come on. That's all cool in the gang.
Austin Matthews scores to make it 6-5 with about a minute left in the Sunday night game. And he kind of gives almost the Hulkster, right?
He gave the little keep talking
or the little I can't hear you kind of thing, right?
Yeah, like, but his hand was moving like, oh, he would have been better off to put his finger to his lips. That's the best. Whoosh, quiet.
So within 30 seconds, the Hawks come down and Patrick Kane ties it up and he gives it right back to.
Well, he does the Hulkster. He's got the hand up by the ear.
He's
got the big one
because he's going to get the love from the home crowd, right, and bring it in. I got to tell you, man, I loved it on both sides. And there's been a ton of talk since then about back in the day we would never have done this. Or to me, I love that Austin Matthews showed some personality and did it. And I love that when the Hawks tied it up, Kane shoved it up his ass and said, yeah, here's how it really fucking goes, right? I'm okay with this stuff, man. To me, it's been buttoned down for too long in terms of we're going to be the straight-laced, you know, collar down, kind of everybody's just head down, act like you've been there before. We haven't fucking been there before. It's 6-6. It's, man, like, it's crazy.
It's raining men.
Right? So,
hallelujah. I don't mind it either.
I really like it.
And now I had nothing in the game,
sure.
But I am watching it and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
So I'm watching that game with a big group on the Sunday night and one of the.
Oh, I was cheering for the Hawks too. Like,
of course.
Business.
Yeah. another Leaf fan in the building. In the building, fuck. In our cottage.
In the compound.
Yeah, sure. After
was it Kane Koresh?
We don't have those at the. Kane comes back and makes it 6-6, and he's sitting back. I told you, you can't celebrate like that. You can't act like that. That's what's going to happen to you. Stop. It had nothing to do
in with it. Your face.
And like,
is that what he was suggesting?
A little bit.
It's karma coming around. Hitting your
that's,
right in the,
that
right.
was the you can't celebrate like that or you will lose. And to me, that's garbage because I've seen more than one Golden State Warriors game, or I've seen more than, you know, you can have some fun. And so, and I got to tell you, I loved it when Kane did it back. Like, here's yeah. a guy with. Here's
did
a,
you really?
Yes. Here's a guy with three cups. He's a vet. He's showing the kid, fuck you, right?
You didn't at some point go, oh,
no, okay,
seriously?
Sure. Yeah, no, as my team getting scored on,
yes.
you're like, oh, fuck, right? Because we've already, thanks, Sparks, right? Like, could have used yep. a save there. But in principle, that's exactly what should happen. Someone should turn around and shove it up your ass, and we can all have some fun with it. I don't know. To me, we need more of that. We need some personality.
Yeah,
we,
I agree. The end, to me, I don't have a problem with either one of those.
Yeah.
And I like it. Although, and I would have pointed at Matthews and said, take that, bitch.
Sure. But don't you think that's sort of what Kane did?
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
But to me, I think did Matthews go to the World Championships this year?
I honestly don't remember. I don't think so.
Okay. But he was saying, I saw a quote where he was saying, you know, I loved playing with Kane. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure where that would have been.
I think that was 2 years ago. Because at the World Cup, he would have been on the, he was on the
under
North
20.
America. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 years ago. Because I think while everyone was at World Championships, Mike Babcock and Austin Matthews were having their big talk in Arizona. And,
okay.
You know, yeah.
All so, right. But yeah, so there was this thing. So I think it's just good natured.
Yeah.
I that's all I got from it. Yeah, it was a bit of a, yeah, look at that. Woo, suck it.
So did you see before I emailed them to you that you hadn't heard of the Carolina?
Yeah, when you said dueling celebrations, I wasn't sure in Toronto. And I'm like, what is he talking about? Yeah, the Carolina thing I had seen.
Okay. So to set the table a little bit for everybody, in Carolina, they've decided after home wins, they're calling it the storm surge, which is, you know, mildly clever for the Carolina Hurricanes. That's okay. They come out, was it Rangers first or Canucks first?
Rangers first.
Rangers first. After
eight,
the win.
8-5.
8-5. So speaking of goals being up, Jesus Christ. I can't believe his name has escaped me.
Well, Justin Williams.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, that is the guy who started this, but it's like, Wilford Bermont or something is the rookie who's lighting it up for them. That's not even close to correct.
Fogle.
Yes. Something Fogle. William yes. Fogle or Wilbur.
Brett Fogle.
Yeah, something like that.
Brett Pesci. Joe Pesci.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Joe Fogle.
Someone is.
Bill Cosby Weinstein.
I got to tell you, at Thanksgiving, because I have some family who listen to the show now and then.
Okay.
I had like two or three different people come up to me and go, it's Deliverance, you idiots.
Okay, we got it though.
Yeah, no, eventually. Yes. Yeah, we have it. But there was a bit of that going on. Like,
see, there was
you don't know anything.
See, there was somebody who tweeted out saying, I don't know, somebody in Florida somewhere saying, man, it's a tough time. It's a tough time to be named Brett Kavanaugh. Yeah. And then somebody else tweeted back saying, yeah, try being Bill Cosby Weinstein. Odd.
Yeah, for sure.
How about Adolf Mussolini? How about that?
So after the Carolina Hurricanes' first win at home against the Rangers, 8-5, they line up on
the blue line,
and Justin Williams kind of leads them in, what do they call it, the skull?
The skull!
And you can look that up on YouTube, but it's kind
I love the skull chant.
For sure. They didn't embrace that part of it. They've still got fucking DJ Khaled or something.
Khalid!
All We Do Is Win playing in the back. Like to me, if you're going to do this.
Win.
Embrace it a little more. Like, put the skull up there, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's let the crowd get into it or whatever. So anyway, he's kind of leading them in this clap, and then they charge down the fucking ice and leap into the glass.
Well, the first one, he goes on his own, and he's sort of waving them to, yes, come, to follow him.
Yeah. So I'm looking at that, and I'm going, fuck, that's kind of fun, right? Like, whatever. Now it's not going to be fun when someone shatters a wrist.
Honestly, I keep saying, how long before somebody like dislocates a shoulder? Right.
Doing something stupid, right? And so it's meant to be this kind of home win celebration. And in principle, I'm good with that. They win again the next night against the Rangers. Nope, against Vancouver. The Canucks. Yeah. And this time it's Michael Ferland who leads the clap. And they go and do the same thing again. Now, I saw an interview with Calvin DeHaan, who after the first one said, I didn't really know what we were doing. And so he's like the last one jumping into the
Yeah.
Hey, wait for me, guys.
I don't want to be standing here in the blue line by myself.
Right. And so essentially, yeah, they're just skating 100 miles an hour down the ice, and they all leap into the glass. And you kind of go, all right, that's kind of fun. And I was surprised to hear that it was Justin Williams' idea as a vet, right? He's 37 years old. But I was all in. I thought, this is kind of cool. And then as you read a little more, as you dig a little deeper, you find out that it's management. It's Tom
Dundon.
Who's we need to do something different home, and we need to. And it, all of a sudden, it just feels less organic. It feels more. And so I don't want to come off as hypocritical after saying that what Kane and Matthews did to each other was fun and this is crap. I didn't think this was crap.
It's the organic thing you're taking issue with.
If this had just started after the game, Justin Williams calls the guys over to the blue line and says, hey, here's what we're going to do. You know, follow me. I'm all in on that. It's kind of shit when it's management, when it's this new age ownership who says, here's what we're going to do.
See, I don't have as big an issue with it as you do. I understand the organic feel, right, that you're looking for.
Yeah.
But really, I think they've been doing the whole to the center ice and sticks up. That's sort of been.
Yeah, I think the Rangers started that, and then like
post-lockout,
27
right?
of 31 teams started doing it, basically.
Yeah, and it's just sort of half-hearted. It's like, man, we sucked. But and really, I've been at games where, you know, the home team is lost, and they sort of still do the.
Yeah.
And you're like,
sorry about that.
Get out of here, you fucking boo.
Right.
But I think it's different.
So to be clear, like, the management didn't tell them to do this. Management said, we need to come up with something. And this apparently was Justin Williams' idea. But it just, to me, you know, I loved it when I saw it. And then after looking at it a bit and reading that it was sort of a, we need to find something.
Yeah. How would you feel if it was like a total ripoff of the Vikings skull chant? How would you feel about that? Like, let's just say if the team split, they both lined, like, both
right
on both blue lines,
right,
and Justin Williams is at center ice, and he's sort of in that slow overhead clap.
Yeah.
And then speeding up. And
is it weird that I might prefer that?
Okay, well, then there we go.
Like, you've totally ripped off someone else.
Well,
like,
and the Minnesota Vikings have ripped off all Scandinavian soccer and...
Oh, yeah.
So nothing is new.
Right.
But there's nothing in your...
Like, to me, this was weird because you're still playing your shitty pop music in the background, and so no one can kind of embrace the clap part of it and the...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't hate it on principle. I just think it's weirdly executed. That's all.
Poorly executed.
Yeah. And they got time, like, presumably.
Cut the all I do was... Well, no, they don't, because if they've got three wins... They are approaching
this is
their
all
season total.
Right. We can't let them have many more.
Oh, now we've missed out. We got about four road wins left in us.
See, I would have picked them as a playoff team if I knew they were going to have Curtis McAleen.
Well, if you knew he was going to be the Vezina guy.
Sure.
Hey, now, did you get a chance? And again, now this is still a week old. Did you get a chance to see Grapes on Coach's Corner on Saturday night?
No, we had the sound down, right? That was when...
I think his brain done finally broke.
Yeah, I remember reading a pile online afterwards about what he'd had to say and that people. But I'm kind of at a point with Grapes because I used to really like Don. I was one of those guys, but he's kind of crazy now, and he's got the crazy old man thing happening. But I find myself getting more upset with people who complain about it.
Yeah, but did you hear? Did he say when he was talking about? and he was touching on Lars Eller, right?
He said he was Swedish.
Well, he said he called him Sweetie.
Yeah.
Sweetie is what he said.
Okay.
And then he said, I would swear, he said, what is he, trying to take a shit? Like, listen to it. If you go back and listen to it again, I defy you to say, to find that he doesn't say,
right,
what is he, got to take a shit? That's a, to okay. me, that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, really? And I rewound it, and I'm like, seriously? And then he's talking about, I like Sparks and everything, but, oh, they're gonna miss McElhinney, and he's going to go on. And you're like, oh, my
this
God.
This 36-year-old career backup. And
yep.
I wasn't in love with the fact that somebody claimed him. I thought he was a nice little safety net for us, but I would have taken Sparks.
I like Sparks, but he's going to suck. It's going to be terrible. It's going to ruin
the
team.
Essentially, I like Sparks, but I do not like Sparks.
Yeah. Like, I wish Sparks was somewhere else. So,
sure.
Anyways, I just thought, wow.
Yeah.
And totally not. And I like that he's come out and said, I want the Leafs to win as much as anybody else.
Yeah, he's finally just put
yeah,
it on
all
the
right.
table.
That's fine, Don. We've known that all along. That's fine. Good. All right.
It's Leafs and Bruins. That's what he's all about.
Yeah. And we don't care.
Well, fair enough, right?
But
you've circled back to that incident between Lars Eller and Brad Marchand on the first night of the season. I've seen a couple replays of it now and people pointing out that you can see Marchand look up at the clock first. There's just about 6 minutes left.
Yeah, I got to get this in before the 5 minute mark hits.
Yeah, that's right. If you do that with less than five left, it's potential suspension and
Bruce Cassidy gets a little.
Yep. So as he's kind of coming out, he's looking up and going, "Yeah, no, I'm still good." Right?
I'm gonna get this. Yeah, but do you not like that about him?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
I don't hate the guy.
I kind of do, but I think he's smart. Like I think he knows what he's doing.
And I think he's one of those guys where he's talented.
Yeah.
And he's a bit of an X factor because you're just like, is he going to low bridge me? Is he going to stick me in the throat? I think he makes his own space. I just.
Last thing before we get out of here tonight. The NHL, over the course of the summer, suspended Austin Watson for 28 games for, we'll call it, domestic incident. Are you familiar with this story?
I am not familiar with this.
So he has a thing with his significant other.
Oh, wait.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Nashville Predators.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And he kind of, you know.
At a gas station.
Yes.
Right.
So
in his pickup truck,
the incident, you know, kind of gets swept under the rug in terms of the law. But the league goes, no, we're not dealing with this, especially knowing they have Slava Voynov, whose incident was much worse and is fairly public in terms of what happened. You can find it for yourselves if you want to. They hit him with a 28 game suspension. The league is the one who lays that down. It's up to the union and the player as to whether or not they want to appeal, which of course they do. And it comes out this week that they reduce that from an 18-game or 28-game suspension to an 18-game suspension. And you wonder now what kind of message that sends. And I'm seeing people shitting all over the league online. This isn't the league. The league hit him with 28 games. It then goes to an independent arbitrator,
yeah,
and they're the ones who bring it down. And there's no precedent for this in the NHL. This is the first time they've really dipped their toe in this.
Yeah.
We've seen
so,
it in other
so the next time, the next time the league goes ahead and gives them a 40-game, give somebody else a 40-game.
You know it's coming down.
If you're going to reduce it.
Okay, by a third.
There you go. Take it down to 30.
Right. And that's a dangerous precedent to set, knowing that Voynov, who, like I said, there's some vicious shit out there, and he's made it clear he wants to come back. And in terms of what he's done, it's not hard to find. There's talk that that might be a season, like, the league doesn't believe he's been punished. He says he's been kicked out of the league and he's served his time. He went back to Russia, made millions of dollars, and won an Olympic gold medal. The league doesn't believe he's been punished, that he's served any time.
Yep. So I'm saying if he wants to come back, they say, okay, Slava, and you have to serve
a season-long suspension.
A season-long suspension.
And now some arbitrator's going to come along and go, nope, it's only 50 games, and you can rejoin someone for the playoff race.
Yep. Well, okay, but you got to. Yeah, to me, you can't fault the league in that front.
No, I think the league did what they should do.
I think 28 games is probably not enough.
Yeah, you could make that argument, but that's a.
It's substantial, though.
Right. Given the circumstances of the Austin Watson case and how it was kind of rescinded and pulled back, they said, we still got to do something and hit it at 28 games.
Yeah.
Someone reduced it by a third, and now you've set this dangerous precedent. And I guess my point is the league does a lot of shitty things. The NHL sucks at a lot of things. They didn't reduce their own suspension. This is an independent arbitrator who set a dangerous precedent, and I just... Those were sort of my feelings on it, and I'd shit all over the league if I could on this. It's not them. The union sucks here,
well, see,
right?
And the NHL needs to go along the same lines as the NFL, where you go, all right, you want to appeal? You have to appeal it to...
The commissioner?
The commissioner.
Union will never go for that, right? Because you're now...
And then the commissioner goes, no, I'm
think we're sticking with 28.
I'm good with it.
Yeah. That's how that ought to go.
Yeah, but this isn't a democracy.
No. You want to play here?
Yeah, you don't
I
have...
I make the rules, man.
You don't have to play here.
Right. Yeah, you can play in the AAF or the CFL or apparently the KHL.
Yeah.
So why don't we wind this one down? We got other stuff to get to. We'll have an all-new episode of Audio Whiplash on Sunday.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Oh, it's going to be...
Oh, awesome. It's going to be so
just
good.
Just wait, man. Just
if
wait.
You thought Thanksgiving dinner was good, woo! Hold tight.
I'm sorry about your bloody eardrums there. We'll catch you on the next one. Give us a follow on Twitter at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. The archives are at TallCanAudio.com, and we're out of here.
See ya.
You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.